Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It is 10 o'clock on one of the most perfect Saturday mornings in the history of good weather. If you don't live on the first coast, I'm so sorry for you.
Yeah, that's no good for you.
No, not at all. But since we do, and since it is 10 o'clock on Saturday morning, this obviously is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I almost canceled today's show and did a rerun because I was so concerned that together we couldn't think of anything to say for a whole hour.
Right.
But Adam promised me he would do his best to come up with a few things. So I said, okay, we'll go in there, but you got to keep it moving because I can't really think of anything that happened this week. Can you?
Yeah. Not really in the political scene or the financial markets.
No. It was, needless to say, one of the biggest unexpected by many events that ever happened. What does it mean to you people? That is our goal, to explain a little bit about what happened, why it happened, what's going to happen to you and your investments. Because let's face it, the nature of the investing landscape just did a major, major turn. And I think there are ways that you can position yourself to improve on what you're doing now. And if you've been afraid of the market, we might be able to help you get a little bit less afraid, so to speak. So we'll get into all of that. We've got a lot of various and sundry topics, including taxes, because taxes are really going to play a big role in this administration and in your investments. So we've got to talk about that. Actually, going to be concentrating on taxes a lot between now and the end of the year. But the first thing I'd like to do is, albeit one day late, just thank every veteran out there. We celebrated their day yesterday, along with my 44th wedding anniversary.
Only and the day slightly less important.
Slightly less important yet, was the day before that, in which Adam turned 40.
Thanks for selling me out on the air.
Not a problem. I wouldn't have missed that opportunity for the world.
I never give you any gripe about your age.
You can't.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I've been old for a long time. It doesn't matter anymore. Anyway, thanks again. Albeit a day late, as I said, thanks to everyone in uniform. We do appreciate it. All right. Wow. Where to begin? I think I'll begin just by turning it over to Adam, see if he can explain this thing. When I said I was at a loss for words, it wasn't because I didn't have any words. I think I had too many.
Yeah, I think I'll start off by saying I don't want to hear anyone call me and tell me that they predicted all the events of this past week, because you'd be lying.
I was the only one who did that.
There's no way. I'm sure that someone out there did predict it, but they would have a hard time convincing me unless they had some time-stamped social media.
No kidding.
Things or tweets or whatever. It was just such a crazy week. So the week opened with a decent gain on the S&P, with the anticipation that Hillary would actually have a comfortable win on Tuesday night. Tuesday was almost completely flat, and the volumes on those 2 days were about the same, at about three, I think somewhere in the 3.5.
Timid.
Yeah, it was not a huge volume days either day. Then as the polls started coming in late Tuesday night and early Wednesday morning, it looked like Trump was going to win, and the futures market plunged over 800 points. And at one point, trading was actually halted.
And for those of you who aren't familiar with such things, futures are options on what you expect the market to do. And when the futures go down, it means you're betting that the market's going to tank.
And they're not an exact predictor of the market, but they're usually a good indicator, right, of what is going to happen the following trading day. So it looked like the market was going to tank on Wednesday, but a funny thing kind of happened on a Wednesday morning. The futures kept climbing out of, well, getting less negative, and then eventually actually went positive before turning slightly negative again. And then the market opened on Wednesday, and it shot straight up. So who knew? I did not see that coming.
Nor did
I'll
I.
I'll be the first to admit it. I actually thought that we would see a dip due to if Trump got elected, and then eventually it would recover. But I didn't think it would happen the next day.
In fact, in a minute, I'm going to read to everybody a short little email that we sent out Wednesday morning that explains exactly what we expected. And you'll see how we were right in the long run, but wrong in the short run, meaning this happened way faster than we expected.
Exactly. The volume also picked up notably on Wednesday and Thursday, and even Friday it was a little off, but Wednesday and Thursday we saw quite large volumes in trading, all positive, so that's a good sign.
When the market goes up on good volume, it means the sentiment of traders has really turned the corner.
So the net result of all that was that the Dow ended the week up 5.4%, while the S&P and NASDAQ both gained 3.8%. That 5.4% gain was the largest weekly gain in 5 years for the Dow, and we saw a new record close on both Thursday and Friday. The rally was pretty broad-based, with small caps performing very well. Basically, the market was assuming that Trump would focus on domestic policy and manufacturing, and we also saw a huge rally in biotech focusing on Trump allowing innovative companies in a less regulated environment to create new ideas and, in this case, new drugs. So there was a notable exception to the rally, though. It can be summed up in an acronym that I used for much of last year, FANG. Mm. That stands for Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. And they were the top performing stocks of last year.
There's another four-letter word for what happened to them. Thud.
Yeah. It turns out that Silicon Valley, much like Hollywood, is filled with Democrats, and many of those Democrats were shocked by the election results. They also found their stocks losing ground this week while everything else trended up. So I think I think Jeff Bezos has a somewhat of a feud going on with Trump, and so there's speculation that he might retaliate, which I really don't think he will, but that was
the explanation.
He already
has. He bought the Washington Post.
Well, that there is that. In other news, some companies actually reported earnings this week, bringing the total to more than 2,400 companies for this earnings season. The earnings beat rate is at 62%, which is basically the historic average, but slightly below last quarter. The revenue beat rate stands at 53%, which is down from last quarter and below historic averages. Now, that's the key number in our opinion, and it needs to climb in the next few quarters, because without solid sales growth, this recovery will remain stuck in sort of a neutral mode.
Easiest way to do that, get people back to work. They become consumers. When they become consumers, the sales of all these companies go up. Then the revenue line starts to grow. That brings the bottom line up.
Yep.
Everything gets better when the country is working.
And lastly, it was a light week in economic data with just 12 indicators being released. The good news is that 6 of those beat expectations while only 3 missed. So the news was overwhelmingly positive, more or less. And we have a busy week next week, so it'll be interesting to see how the post-election data starts coming in. I'm very curious to see that.
Okay, I wanted to postpone welcoming everybody until we got a few things out of the way right there, because the market was such an interesting thing this week. But for returning people, thank you so much for being here again. And if you're new to the show, if you've heard about it or just driving by and you happen to have the radio on, welcome. And stick around. We have a lot more to talk about, obviously. We do have a trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. Call Ken at 636-7888. And I'm going to let Adam introduce the trivia question right after the first break here. And at that time, I'm going to read to you what we thought early Wednesday morning when we sent out an email to clients, friends, and family. And it kind of validated everything we've been saying for the weeks leading up to the election. We're constantly getting asked, well, what will the election do to the market? And we kept telling people for weeks and weeks that it really isn't going to have any major long-term effect. And the reasons for that I'll get into after the break. All right, we got to run. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Lines are open. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And again, welcome to everybody. The lines are open, 904-222-8255. And to make it easy to remember, that's 222-TALK. We will get into this little thing that we wrote last week and a little more market explanation shortly. But I want Adam to introduce a trivia question so that you can call in and take a shot at it. And it's financial and political all at the same time.
Yeah.
But as this week tends to be.
But it's about money
spent. It's about money.
So it is financial. So I kept hearing this figure that Donald Trump spent about $5 for every vote that he received on Tuesday. And I went back and I wanted to check that figure and see if it was accurate. So I used the best information I could find. And what I found was that as of Friday, he had spent about $4.69 on every one of his votes. What I would like to know is what Hillary Clinton spent on every one of her votes. That is the trivia question, and we'll take answers plus or minus about 5 cents in either direction.
Mm-hmm. So $4.69 for Trump, how much for Hillary? Okay, on Tuesday night, when a lot of us were staying up very late and watching this sort of sea change, both in predictions and in the markets and so on, I knew that the smart thing to do, being in the business we're in, which Adam will tell you more about momentarily, was communicate with people, because everyone wants to know what we think, since their money is sitting with us, and we want to make sure that we have some kind of consensus or at least agreement on an individual basis. So I knew the right thing to do was get this out early, and we did. So here it goes. To our valued clients, good friends, and family, on November 8, 1994, Congress received the largest rebuke in modern history as the House of Representatives reversed decades of history when Republicans swept into control. Remember, that was 1994. Peter Jennings, the Canadian-born Big Three newscaster, described the result as American voters having a, quote, hissy fit. As we remember it, there was so much going wrong in D.C. that that change was absolutely warranted. In my memory, and it's only mine because Adam wasn't old enough, there was one other sea change in the political spectrum that occurred on November 4th, 1980, when the polls showed that Jimmy Carter would easily win re-election, but the people disagreed, and the Ronald Reagan Revolution began. November 8th, 2016 was like both of these, but on steroids. Everyone knows our political leanings. There's no need to get into any of that. What we are interested in, and certainly what you would like to hear from us, I'm sure, is what effect this would have on the market. So here's our view with some anecdotal evidence. Last week on the radio show, we did a trivia question on the recent 8-day losing streak in the market. This is so unusual that the last occurrence was in 1980, one of the other big political change years. That time, however, it happened after the election, when the market... It was starting on December 1, 1980. The most recent one was before the election, when the market breathed a sigh of relief due to the FBI announcement that they would not pursue Hillary Clinton's email trouble any further. We all know how the market did after Reagan's inauguration, as a period of prosperity propelled the market ahead by 118% in 8 years. We're also reminded of the recent Brexit vote in England, where the prognosticators were certain of rejection, but the voters overwhelmingly expressed their dissatisfaction. While the actual separation has not yet occurred, England's economy, widely expected by these so-called experts to be devastated, is fine, thank you. Where does this leave us? Last night, as many of us were burning the candle a little longer, and remember I'm writing this Wednesday, so that was Tuesday night, longer than expected, the market futures were tanking. Wall Street detests indecision and surprise, and the election results were providing increasing amounts of both. At one point, trading was halted, with the futures down over 700 points. After about 4 hours sleep, when I finally got up again, the futures were down only about half of that. As this is written, and this was probably 7 o'clock in the morning, they're down about 200, but still very volatile. What should investors do about this market shock? We believe that the election results will eventually result in a strong economy, which will translate into a rising market. The question, of course, is when? We believe that the biggest mistake the average investor could make right now is to sell on the results. Similarly, going all in sounds a little risky, as volatility will most likely be astounding for a while. Everyone should make up their own mind, but those who have some cash may want to watch the market for an hour or a day or a week and then work back into the market in pieces. Buying opportunities should become evident during the turmoil. From our standpoint, this should be fun. Whatever your politics, think about sectors. Some good possibilities include energy, like coal, oil, and natural gas, railroads, and others, like transportation, healthcare, biotech, and the list goes on. Just don't be in too much of a hurry. We need to ride the volatility for a while. Keep in touch and let us know what feels good for you. Well, we were right, except it happened before this thing even went out in the email.
Yeah, that's true.
So prior to the election, we said it was a good time to do nothing for a while. And now that that's over, it's time to formulate a plan. What are the short-term effects, the long-term effects of the Republican sweep? What sectors should thrive and what should suffer? Well, Adam addressed that last week, and he has graded his own work today and has a scorecard. And he's going to look back and say, how did I do?
Yep. Last week, if you were listening, I went down sector by sector and said what a Trump win would, how it would affect that sector, or what a Hillary win, how would that affect the sector. And so I'm going to go back and look at my Trump side of everything, because obviously he was the winner, and see how well I did. So I started off with healthcare and biotech, and I said a Trump win was a buy, and I said it was the easiest call out there. And I have to give myself an A+ on that one, because I nailed it.
Boy, did you ever.
The biotech sector had probably its best week that I can remember. The IBB, which is a ETF that tracks that sector on the NASDAQ, went up 11.8%. And similarly, the healthcare index, the Vanguard one, VHT, increased 6.63%. So not a bad week.
Good week. And by the way, they needed it.
Yeah. Biotech had been I don't want to say tanking, but had been in a slump because
of pummeled and thwapped.
And that was largely due to the assumption that Hillary would win.
Yeah, she poo-pooed the industry.
She's not a fan.
Prior to, no. Which only means to me they didn't contribute enough to her. Because I can't think of another reason. Without biotech,
how are
we going to get advances in healthcare?
Look at the life expectancy in this country. Where do you think all those drugs came from?
Absolutely.
My second one was utilities, and this one I did not get correct at all. I said on a Trump win, buy it, and if things had taken longer to get the pop, I think I would have been right, because
yeah,
it's a safety sector, but it didn't. It happened the next day, so the utility sector ended up declining about 3.25, or at least the Vanguard index that tracks it did.
Which means a buying opportunity is coming.
Yeah, and actually that's not a bad move down for utilities,
no,
which are pretty stable. So you could consider that a potential buying opportunity.
Well, if business gets better and if more households are working, they're going to consume more energy and electricity and that sort of thing. You can see the future of these things being very bright, especially if we get the grid, protected better, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I gave myself a D on that one.
Oh, and by the way, their profits should increase too, because they're going to be able to burn coal again.
That is true. Consumer cyclical. I got that one right. I said a Trump win, you should buy it. And they had a very nice week. VCR, the Vanguard ETF, was up 4.33%.
That's based on economic optimism.
Consumer defensive, again, similar to utilities, I was saying buy if Trump wins, because that would be a sector that would be safety. And if things are going down, that would probably decrease less. They ended up declining 1.74%. Yeah, and so not too bad.
That was just a rotation to the cyclical.
On energy, I said Trump. If Trump wins, it was a hold, and the sector went up, but it wasn't the week's biggest winner, so I gave myself a C on that one, and the Vanguard Energy Index increased 3.08%.
Now, I'll throw in an aside there. What I really like about the Trump win is the energy services sector.
Oh, man, the pipeline companies had a huge
first thing we're going to see is the beginning of the Keystone Pipeline, and that's only the beginning.
So industrials, I said if Trump wins, buy, and they had a great week. The industrial index, or the Vanguard industrial index, went up 8.52%, so I had to give myself an A there. Financials, Trump, I said hold, and they were the clear winners of the week. Mm-hmm. I should have given it a buy rating. The Vanguard Financials Index was up 11.25%. Yeah. And real estate, the Vanguard Index was flat this week. It was down 0.10%. And I can't really say that I did a bad job here, because I do think real estate will increase under the Trump presidency, but there's so much speculation about the interest rates involved in REITs that they just didn't have a great week. So
I agree, although they used to be considered financials, and the S&P just spun them out on their own
right. This
particular year. And I agree that I think this is going to be excellent for real estate.
Yes, I agree as well.
You know, whatever tax law Trump's going to sign is going to favor real estate, because
that's
what
industry.
He does.
Yeah.
And a lot of his friends, too. I don't see any possibility of much of a downside for real estate. So you did very well.
Not bad.
You know, I was thinking about something else prior to the show today. Something I call the hard hat effect. Why did everybody miss all of this? Those of you from Wisconsin will know that if you really want the pulse of what's going on in the world, you go have breakfast at George Webb's. That's where one of the Fox girls was this past week, interviewing people at George Webb's. So if you're from the South, you do the same thing, but you do it at Waffle House. If you want to know what the people are thinking, look for a guy with a hard hat and ask him what he's thinking. It's just that easy. But Trump knows these people and always has. We're going to talk more about that and some other things right after the break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And another big shout out to people in uniform is due, even though it's a day late, it's the closest we had. So thanks to all the veterans everywhere, as well as the active people, of course, and of course those who didn't make it. Where to begin? First off, this segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Because not only do things grow, but now we're into project time. It's time to do some fall-type cleanup and start thinking about improving things for next year. It's project time in the business. Call Troy at 662-9794. Lines are open, and callers always go to the head of the line, 904-222-TALK, 222-8255. The trivia question, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888, is about money and the election. Donald Trump spent $469 per vote. What did Hillary spend? And I'm going to give you a hint. I'll give you a range. It was more than that. So it's somewhere between 470 and infinity. There's your range. So all you got to do if you want to bracket it is to make a guess. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. I got a guess on the trivia.
Great. How much?
I'm going to say $8.80.
Well, believe it or not, you are low. How about that?
I'm low.
Yep. So she didn't get all a right. real good deal compared to Donald Trump, did she?
No, but that was a beautiful thing.
You're my kind of man.
I love listening to the show. So.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
I don't think they're comparing what he spent. That's him and the RNC, I assume.
Yeah, how much money was spent
to include super PACs and everything?
All of that.
Yeah,
and that's an overall expenditure, $469. The overall expenditure for Hillary, of course, about 2 cents of that was her own money. That's it. Maybe not even that, but I digress. You know, anybody who tuned in today to hear me gloat, you're probably going to be real disappointed. Well, maybe not that disappointed. It is hard not to be happy at a time like this for people like us, and Lord knows there's a lot of us, right? Can we answer anything else for you today, Dan?
No, thank you much.
Well, thanks for calling. We appreciate it, and congratulations, your team won. Okay. What is the biggest issue to people like us right now? Taxes. Everything to me is hinging on a better tax policy. Without it, you can't really have any kind of a recovery. You can't make America great again, that sort of thing. But first, good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. I wanted to take a guess on the tribute question.
Sure. How much?
I'd say $10.25.
Oh, so close.
You are so close, but you're low. But it was a very, very good guess.
But all right. Well, I hope, if anything, Trump will, he's a smart guy. And I think really as long as he has people that are around him that are smart, that can advise him correctly and he can make wise choices, I look forward to his administration. I hope that all the co-workers, all the folks out there that are in the services industries will get back to work. But just like you said, if we can get people to working, we can make this, we can change this thing.
It almost sounds like you were listening in at the break when Adam and I were talking.
We were having that same discussion.
Yep, and as I put it, the grown-ups are moving back to D.C.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I never was an Obama fan, and I'll just say this. I'm an African-American, but I never was an Obama fan because this has been so oppressive with the EPA, the regulations, all the things that they say that are supposedly help the economy. I haven't seen it. Just like when they're counting, you guys were talking about real estate earlier. How can you count and say that someone's going to buy a house if they just have the intention of buying a house? That doesn't count. What counts is when you stand on the dotted line. Yep. That should count.
That's very insightful. Now, as an African-American, you probably heard the comment that Trump made in one of his appeals when he said, "What in the hell do you have to lose?" And I thought to myself, that was great.
And I hope that people don't get offended by it, but say, you know what, we do need to make changes. And some of those changes are not going to be easy. Change is not necessarily easy, but a lot of times when we do make the change, when you look back on it, you go, wow, that was the best thing we could have done. It wasn't easy at the time, but we did do it.
And you know,
when people, I'm sorry, go on.
No, go ahead.
I just hope that people have an open mind. I hope that people will see that it's not, any of the presidents, any of them, you can take them outside of the vacuum sometimes that history puts them in, and you'll see a real person. They had their problems, their issues, their whatever else you want to put on, and none of those guys are perfect. But I hope that, you know, like I said, Trump will, and I really believe he will, surround himself with intelligent folks who know what needs to be done and then make the right decision and then go from there. And once he makes those decisions, like I said, some of them are going to be hard, but we need to make them so we step from the path that we're on now and go the other direction. Because I don't want to pass on a lot of debt to my kids and my kids' kids. I'd rather them say, hey, you know what? My folks, they worked hard. They did what they were supposed to do, and now I'm going to pick up the mantle and walk from there. So hopefully, if we keep going in that direction, that's what will happen.
Charlie, I love your attitude. Yep. You sound exactly like me in 2008, because I was not an Obama fan. I did not vote for him in 2008, but when he got in, that was the people had spoken, and all I could ask for is that he did his best, surrounded him with the best and brightest people, and kept this country moving in the right direction. And, you know, for all of the negativity that we sometimes talk about with him, our country is definitely not in a bad spot right now. It's not. There are certain things that need to be fixed, absolutely, but it could have been a lot worse.
Yep. And you are in good company, and I don't mean just the likes of Ben Carson, but also people like Martin Luther King, lifelong Republican. Yeah,
right.
They knew back then what it meant to take care of yourself instead of putting your hand out to the government, letting everybody else do it. And I think they've paved the way for, and I think this will continue, a period of time when we really can accomplish some things. And I just hope people go along with them. I worry about congressional Republicans balking. We always have. We've always taken these opportunities and thrown them away. And I'm hoping that this particular election will change the attitude of the elected Republicans and say, really, seriously, we need change. And we do.
And I agree with you. I think that's where you have to have wise counsel. And I'll say this about Obama. He had wise counsel, but he decided not to use it. And in that case, I find him unwise. Now, that's me personally. I don't have anything to do with anybody else. I don't know who's listening. But if he had been wise and said, hey, I have some people here. They're qualified. They're telling me this is what I need to do. I think if some of those, if he had followed some of those decisions, then maybe we would be in an even better situation. But as you said, it, unfortunately, people up there in Congress have got to say, okay, listen, now that the tide has changed, we need to not get stuck on the petty things, but we need to actually work to get some things done. And then don't worry about that. But I will say this, though. I do believe that Hillary should be in jail because you know as well as I know, if I'm working for a company, I'm working for your company, and I come to you and I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to use my own laptop. Don't worry about it. I'm going to have people's, sensitive information on my laptop, and I'm going to do whatever I want to do on my own laptop. I think you gentlemen would say, Thank you, Charlie.
Yep.
Go on and just take your laptop and let the dough hit you, brother.
Exactly. Well, as much as we agree with you, I'm going to try to stay a little bit less political than that, but I'm glad you said it. Take care. Thanks for calling.
Great call, Charlie.
Greg, you got a few seconds if you just want to guess. Otherwise, can I put you on hold?
Put me on hold because I got a couple questions also.
Well, I couldn't be happier. We'll get you right after the break. All right, we're going to run, and then we'll get back to Greg and talk about some financial questions. And we've got a few other issues to cover today. I'd like to get into what taxes will be under Trump. But, you know, if you guys want to keep on calling and control the editorial portion of the show, that is your privilege that you get by virtue of the fact that we are here live and willing to talk about anything. But you are more important than we are. Taxes will wait. Absolutely. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up with the fourth segment right after the break, and we'll see what is on the minds of people like Greg. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And without further nonsense, Greg, thanks for holding.
I'm not going to ask how you're doing because I can tell.
I tried to hide it.
Well, just a quick note on that. Wednesday morning, I got up to go to work, and it was clammy and drizzly and rainy, and I said, what a pretty day.
You know, the audience is pretty uniform out there. It's just one of those things.
It just, and since it just felt better to get up, but it's just so strange.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? You know, we're just talking in the break. Adam and I were talking about things like Detroit. I don't know what's going to happen to that Ford plant, if they're going to keep it open or anything. But why do CEOs commit resources to some place, and that includes hiring? They commit because they're optimistic that business is going to be good in the future. That's all it takes. You don't have to make it good. You have to make them believe it's going to be good, and they will create the actual results. So if this election changes the mind of CEOs and makes them prosperous in their head, they're going to make the country prosperous in places like Michigan. And if so, then all those promises will be fulfilled. How about
that? Perception is reality.
You got it.
Correct.
What can we do for you?
Well, a couple of things. Karl Rove said that the last time we had a Republican president, Senate, and Congress, do you know?
1928 is what he said.
That's what he said.
He's wrong.
Yeah, that is not right.
Okay, well, I was going to say, I didn't verify it, so I didn't know that, but just the next 10 years in this country wasn't all that great.
No.
No,
not at all. Actually, I read something about that this morning, yeah. And since 1950, there's been three times it's happened, and the stock market returns during all three of those times were very favorable. I think the lowest one was over 8.5%. Mm-hmm.
You know, I was feeling good before, but I feel even better now.
Good. Yeah. And when your pocketbook feels good, you feel good.
And I think historically...
Well, that's it. Again, it's just the pendulum has swung back. And I hope, we do it right. And
it always
I think
does.
They will.
It always does.
Historically, I think that there's been maybe 13 of those
times,
like, and
that,
10
yeah.
or
a lot of them
11,
are pre-World War II.
Yeah, they were a long time ago, but 10 or 11 of those came out positive. Only two or three were negative.
Mm-hmm. So. I think it was 10 out of 13 times when we've had all three that the market was up. That's pretty good.
That's all good. You haven't heard anything about this, and if it's true anymore, does Trump have to put his holdings in a blind trust?
Well, they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to structure the business so the kids can still run it, but they have to run it more or less independently of him, and that's not going to be an easy thing. They will figure it out. You know, complexity is what they do, but they will figure it out, and he's going to be busy enough that I think we can all believe him when he says he's not going to be involved in the day-to-day business. So it'll be Ivanka and Eric and Don.
He hasn't been involved in that in the last year,
guess. No. That's true. Look where he's been. Every day he's been busy, busy, busy. And how are the kids doing? Just fine, thank you. Business is superb. And I don't think anybody's really worried about it.
You haven't heard about it.
No, we haven't.
Even the Democrats aren't talking about it.
No, they know the truth. Well, for one thing, in my opinion, they didn't want to bring up the kids because everybody likes them. It makes him look good if you look at his family. How about that?
That's amazing. I think here's something, just a small anecdotal thing. I think where he won the election, what started to win the election, they took him off Twitter.
Kellyanne, thank you very much, Kellyanne.
You know, the medical do no harm. The Twitter, he was killing himself.
Yep.
It was hilarious, though.
She's a brilliant woman.
He was enforcing the base, but he had the base, the voter. He was killing the independent voters and the undecided with the stuff he was doing on going after the Miss America or whatever she was, Miss Universe thing.
Yep.
Was just bad news.
Yep. And then he got on the economy and jobs, economy and jobs, economy and jobs. Just pounded him.
What was it, a week or two ago, he was at some rally, stay focused, Donald, stay focused. I loved it.
Well,
they were
trying to give him grief for that, but he was kind of pimping them and doing a little mimicking, but he was doing it because he knew they were right.
It was beautiful.
It was
self-deprecating humor. It was great. Yep. And one other thing, there was one commercial, I only saw it one time. It came out the day after Cooney said he was going to open the investigation. They started the commercial with Reagan. I mean, I'm not Reagan, Nixon. You need to know your president's not a crook. I only saw the commercial one time, but it was great. I'm not going to take up all your time.
Yeah,
you guys
good.
Are great.
That's
I want to take
fine.
A shot at your...
Yeah, go for it.
So, 1050?
Now, that's too high. And
so now
we have a bracket.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yep, so I said...
I'm still happy.
I said five cents up or down from the answer,
yeah,
so we have a good bracket.
Mm-hmm. But you see the point. She spent over twice as much money and lost.
Well, it's like the Yankees try to buy the World Series every year. It just doesn't work.
Nope.
Sometimes
right.
It does, but not always.
It's been a nasty, rotten 8 years. I hope the next eight are better, and I know they're going to be.
We all do. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
We really appreciate
sir.
It.
Bye-bye. Y'all take care.
Thank you. And Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning. I'm going to take a guess.
Shoot.
1032.
You nailed it on the head.
Got it. How about that?
Wonderful.
The actual number was 1027, and we were going plus or minus a nickel.
No, it was actually 1032.
That's right. It was 1032 on the head, and we were plus or minus a nickel from there. So you didn't even need the margin of error.
Now, I do have to say that's based on my calculations, which not all the votes are in,
right.
So I had to pull the best data that I could find. So it could be a little bit off when all is said and done, but really good guess,
Cheryl. That's fabulous. All right, I'm going to put you on hold, and we'll get your address, and thank you for calling. I think the bulk of our listeners are very happy today.
Yeah,
I get that feeling.
So I just wanted to give a little bit of background on that. According to the website publicintegrity.org, Hillary Clinton spent a total of $624 million on her presidential campaign, while Donald Trump spent $282 million. Hmm. And according to politico.com, on Friday afternoon, Clinton received 60,467,245 votes, while Trump received 60,071,650 votes. So that means that Clinton had to spend about 120% more than Trump for every one of her votes.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Because we haven't done this yet today, why don't you tell the folks who we are? If you like what you hear out there, and if you're thinking that maybe with good times coming and you might need some help with your finances, we're here for you.
Yep, we are independent, fee-only financial advisors located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off the Marsh Landing Parkway exit of Butler, so really easy to get to from all points in the city. And we, our office number is 904-685-1505. We're also online, www.vanweefinancial.com. Lots of good stuff on our website, including podcasts of the radio show. So if you miss it, we hope you don't, but if you do, there's commercial-free podcasts right on the website. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/VanWeFinancial, and Twitter at VanWeFinancial.
All right. I'm going to just introduce a topic. We're not going to have time to cover it at length, but let's talk about income taxes for a little bit. There is a lot of money sitting in various countries doing absolutely nothing because it's profits earned by large companies like Google and Apple, and those profits are sitting over there, and they're already taxed by the country in which they were made. They're sitting there because to bring that money home here would cost them 35% in corporate income taxes. That is ridiculous. It is the highest rate in the entire world, and it is counterproductive in that it makes that money sit. So much so that when Apple was raising money a year or two ago, they decided that rather than repatriate that money, which means bringing it back home at a cost of 35%, they were going to issue a bond issue, which was oversubscribed in day one. It pays a meager 1% interest on their bonds. They raised all the money they needed through this bond issue rather than just bringing that money home. Does that make sense to anyone out there? It makes no sense to me.
It depends on your long-term plan, actually. Issuing a 1% bond
now is probably
a good idea.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. But my point is, if you're going to get money working for you, you've got to bring it back home. Part of the Trump tax plan is to repatriate this money at 10%. Now, it's been tried a couple times before. I don't have the exact dates, but I will by next week. And that money does come home when you give them a one-time shot of 4, 5, 6, 7%. I think the other ones were. But the bigger thing, instead of that 35% bracket that makes all these companies want to move out because they can't afford to stay here, he wants to lower it to 15% and make it ultra competitive throughout the world. Well, how do you get people to stay here? Don't charge them so much. The bottom line on all this stuff is follow the money, and we'll be talking about that and other things next week. I hope you're all happy, or if you're not in among the happy group, I hope you give it a chance as we did for 8 years. All right, we got to run. Thanks for listening so much. We'll be here at 10 o'clock next week. This is the VanWee Financial Hour.